Welcome to Just One Q. I'm Dr. Melissa Horn, a diversity, equity, and inclusion advocate. In this podcast, I chat with industry experts and thought leaders about the latest trends related to diversity, equity, and inclusion in the workplace. Each episode, I ask one burning question tied to current events. Our goal is to leave you with the tools you need to drive change in your own life, both personally and professionally. When we think of DEI, we often forget that age is an important identity factor. But for the first time in history, there are five generations actively participating in the workforce. They're the traditionalists, those born between 1925 and 1945, the baby boomers, born between 1946 and 1964, Generation X, those who were born in 1965 to 1980, millennials, those born between 1981 and 2000, and Generation Z, born between 2001 to 2020. With such diverse life experiences, access to different resources, skill sets, cultural ideas, and ways of working, leaders need to be thinking about how to create a workplace that allows for these generational differences, that creates a shared language, that focuses on emotional intelligence and empathy for all of their workers. So with all these factors in mind, I'm asking, what does generational intelligence look like? Did you even know that GQ was a thing other than a magazine? And how can leaders ensure that their DEI practices are inclusive of the current multi-generational workforce? So to answer today's question, I'm joined by Rachel Munirodzi. It's so great to have you on the show.
Hi, Melissa. Thank you for having me on the show.
Before the show, I was mentioning that there's this great app that it's called howtopronounce.com. I always go to it when I know that I'm going to have some sort of weird mental block around pronouncing someone's name. Anyway, if anyone out there also has this, go to howtopronounce.com and it'll tell you everything you need to know about how to pronounce a person's name or last name. So thank you, Rachel, for being here. Rachel Rudo Consulting is a minority-owned, woman-owned, full-service diversity, equity, and inclusion consultancy that's headquartered in Los Angeles, California. Having always been a minority throughout her career in corporate America, Rachel is also a diversity inclusion thought leader. As a Black woman originally from Zimbabwe, Rachel refuses to let her gender, race, or place of birth determine her career path. Rachel advocates for diversity and inclusion within an organization's culture to allow employees to feel like they belong and to bring their best selves to work. She helps clients achieve lasting change through facilitation, education, consultation, and coaching, dedicating more than two decades to helping executives and teams transform their challenges into opportunities for extraordinary growth and performance. Primarily focusing on bringing companies from chaos to clarity, Rachel believes that change is inevitable and thriving is a choice. So Rachel, without further ado, let's get to it. I want to hear about the issues around generational intelligence. And I know this is something that you're really passionate about.
Yes, I'm very passionate about it. And I think when we were speaking, I told you about how I hired an assistant at one point in time. And I'm Gen X and she's a millennial. And I remember her coming, she was hired. There were lots of areas of opportunity for her, lots of things that I was able to teach her, simple things that she didn't think about, like how to answer a phone call professionally, just simple things like that, you know, professionalism that was just a given with me being in Gen X. But she had boundaries for me that I found a little offensive. Remember, Melissa, I told you?
Yep.
So I hired her to be my assistant, but she told me from the beginning, I work this to this and I leave at 5 o'clock every day. And I remember thinking, you're my assistant. If I'm working until 7 o'clock, you will be working until 7 o'clock. It was a thought bubble. Mm-hmm. I thought it, but I knew not to say it. But the lesson, the moral of the story is I learned so much from her because different generations come with different traits. I was trained and programmed a certain way. And I have come to appreciate my family time. And it began with that assistant creating boundaries for me, which I didn't quite like, but she was well within her rights. You know, not, change is inevitable, right? Thriving is a choice. So Gen X's, we tend to work long hours because we're trying to get ahead, but the younger generations don't do that. So that is where I began to learn to change. And I actually have begun to embrace that way of life. So yes, I'm very, very interested in generational intelligence, which is a lot like emotional intelligence or cultural intelligence, which is a must and a priority to thrive in today's workplace.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the pandemic has thrown these boundaries and the idea that the ways of working before are not going to persist as we move forward. And I think, you know, some of these things that you mentioned around setting boundaries around family time and when I'm going to be online and offline, you know, things that I guess I'm sort of on the, I'm a millennial, but I feel like I have more Gen X traits, you know, I'm one of those older millennials. So,
right.
But, you know, thinking about this as we go forward, I think even people, you know, my mom is in the baby boomer thing and she's like, I love that people are setting boundaries. I would never have thought of about doing this. It wasn't even something, you know, on my radar before, but now, you know, one with working from home, this shift to remote work and just having to set those boundaries in order to get through, you know, online schooling and all these different challenges that we've had, you know, there's a lot of benefits to that. So in your work and when you're working with leaders around this generational intelligence and, you know, having these multi-generational workers. I know that, you know, we often think about people with caring responsibilities as, you know, young mothers or people with or younger families, but we're finding the folks in that baby boomer and maybe even the traditional generation have caring responsibilities for older adults and maybe not feeling as comfortable as some of, you know, their peers in these other generations around setting those boundaries. Are you finding that in your work?
Most definitely. In the beginning, you talked about change is inevitable and thriving is a choice. COVID, the pandemic, people had to change and adapt and pivot in order to thrive throughout the pandemic. And people like myself, even baby boomers, who are accustomed to going to work to get work done, had to pivot. And a lot of people, a lot of Gen Xers like myself, are finding that they love being at home and they actually get more work done. So, and this is something that I would say the younger generations were saying all along, but we didn't necessarily pay attention to them. So yes, to answer your question, we do see this in the workforce. And a lot of times it's the baby boomers who are controlling the policies and the procedures because they're higher up in the organizational structure. So they're the ones with decision-making power and they're not so flexible with the younger generations, but change I believe is coming with the younger generations and with diversity, equity, and inclusion. A lot of organizations were finding that they could not retain the younger generations, you know, millennials, Gen Z, you do something they don't like within a company, they will leave. They will not even have a job to go to, but they're out of there. If there's a policy that they don't like or something that happens that they don't like, and they're also out there on social media talking about it. So organizations as a whole have had to change and pivot to go with the changes that are going on in the world. And change comes, I believe, from the younger generations. So the pandemic, I feel, made us move a little faster in that direction because a lot of organizations were resistant to change. But the pandemic made people have to change, organizational leaders to change and pivot in order to thrive. So
with that, though, you know, as things are, well, starting to open up, and, you know, I think I was reading, I forget which article it was, but, you know, there's a bit of a disconnect between employers and leaders who want this return to work, even though we've seen that we have been extremely productive throughout this pandemic and working from home, even though employees are saying they're unsure of whether they really, I mean, there's certain employees who want to be back in the office, who are, you know, craving that in-person interaction. There are others who want this hybrid. How do leaders, or even like middle managers or those who are receiving directives to say, get your people back in the office, even though we've seen how great we've been working from home, how do we manage that? What are these folks going to do? What are you seeing?
Wow. How do you manage that? Personally, I feel people should be given choices if things are working, right? But there are some organizations, I'll give you an example of a friend of mine who works in Atlanta, I was just in Atlanta. So they were working from home and then the numbers got better and then they were taking it in turns because the numbers had to be low in the office, right? So 2 weeks at home, 2 weeks in the office, 2 weeks at home, 2 weeks in the office. Now the numbers are going up again. So now everybody is back at home with right. just a few key people in the office. So a part of me feels like things will continue to happen until leaders at the top change. What's happened now in our world is that the decision makers don't have control anymore. The pandemic is nothing that we can control, numbers we can't control. So even the most stubborn leaders, I feel, back to change is inevitable, will have to make those changes. And if you want, back to why is generational intelligence important, if you want to not affect the bottom line in a negative way, right? If you want to reduce high turnover rates, right? If you want to reduce disgruntled employees going onto social media and talking about you, you know, then you have to listen to what the people want. So, and again, everything is case by case.
Sure, sure.
Every organization is case by case. It depends on what the company does. So we definitely need to pay attention to the changes that are happening throughout the entire world and pivot and make the changes. Change is inevitable, right? Thriving is a choice. And so at the end of the day, people are the lifeblood of any organization. And if you're the people who work for you are not happy, they will leave and go somewhere else. This is what leaders have to realize, is that people have choices. People have options. My generation, Gen X, we tend to do as we're told, but what the younger generations are showing us is, hey, I have choices, I have options. That's something that I've learned from millennials and Gen Z. You know, I don't have to stay, I don't have to be in this job forever because I'm trying to build a pension and grow my 401k. I can leave and go somewhere else where I'm treated right, where I feel like what I bring to the table is valued. I feel like I belong. Loyalty to organizations is based on how loyal they are to their employees.
I think that's a really important point to note as well, that, and we're seeing this, right, with this great resignation. So all these things are kind of happening, you know, that I'm sure, you know, are shocking that people are just leaving in the middle of a pandemic. But, you know, what this has shown us is that people really, you know, that we're rethinking our values and what's important to us in our work, right? Because we've seen our work and personal lives clash in ways that, you know, are unprecedented. And you're right, there's so much to learn from this generation around creating boundaries and about setting expectations, you know, and that it's a two-way street, that it's not just enough to have a job, but that to have a job where you're thriving, where you want to be there, where the company, you know, values you and that you feel valued. So in terms of some of the, you know, as we know, DEI is going to continue to be important. And, you know, sometimes there's these generational divides where, well, you know, that's just how I grew up. You know, I don't mean anything by it. It's just something that, you know, what do we do around that? Because, you know, this is inevitable that in our workplace, we're going to be, you know, they're tackling DEI issues and we've got intergenerational employees sort of hashing these out, and it can come to conflict where people are saying, well, this is how I was raised. You know, I don't mean anything by it. How do you help organizations navigate those conversations?
This is just how I was raised. This is just how I am. Change is inevitable. Thriving is a choice, like I say. But one of the things that we recommend, a lot of the older generations, the baby boomers, the silent generation, the Gen X, they feel they know more than the younger generations and that they bring more to the table than the younger generations do, right? So within an organization, for example, if you were to be CEO of a company and you were kind of stuck in your way, I would maybe suggest to you reciprocal mentoring, right? Hmm. Where it's not just the leaders within the organization, you know, it's reciprocal. So what has been going on a lot is you have the baby boomers who are not so technologically savvy, right? But they want to be. But I remember I worked with someone who was a baby boomer, and he would say, these kids today are born cable ready. That's what he said. He would say that all the time. They come into the world knowing how to use, he couldn't even use his iPhone, right? He struggled with that. So reciprocal mentoring would help a person like that, because the younger generations, Gen Z, millennials, they are born cable ready, not really cable ready, but the Gen Z is also known as the I generation, if you think iPhone. I remember, I always tell my son, who's 13, that I remember when I first got an AOL computer and an AOL account, and I was sitting in my college dorm room dialing it. You remember that? He has no idea what that is. I show him pictures of the first cell phones. It's hilarious to him. And he was actually like maybe three, and he would help me with my iPhone. So I remember when we did not have the internet, right? And these children are being born with the internet and with social media, and they're just ready to go. So reciprocal mentoring, back to what do? No one generation, no one person knows it all. An organization that will thrive is an organization that allows for a transfer of knowledge, because yes, the baby boomers do have a lot that they can teach the younger generations, but the younger generations do too. So creating an atmosphere where everyone, or a work environment where everyone feels like they bring something to the table. That person who says, this is just how I was raised, this is just how I do things, might learn that, hey, there's a different way for me to do things. That Gen Zer who is not so respectful of time, you know, all the time, could maybe benefit from learning from an older person why timeliness is important, you know? Mm-hmm. So reciprocal mentoring is one of the things that I think would be beneficial in a situation like that. You need to create an environment where people can learn from each other.
Yeah, and I think that goes back to the idea around how do you, you know, foster shared language, empathy, and, you know, that emotional intelligence as well as generational intelligence. And I think that's a fantastic idea around that reciprocal mentoring, because there is so much that, you know, we learn from our peers, regardless of, you know, status within the company or whatever. There's so much that we can learn from them. So that's a really thoughtful and interesting way that to sort of bridge those gaps is to have those mentoring opportunities.
And also another way is to know what motivates the different generations. So for example, a baby boomer is about to retire. They're more focused on long-term care benefits, you know, because they're about to retire. Someone like me, Gen Xer, I'm thinking more of matching my 401k. There are different companies who tailor their benefits based on what it is that the different, what's important to that group of people. So for example, I don't remember the name of a company, but there was a company that they had Gen Zers, Gen Xers, and baby boomers, right? So they found that the Gen Z were more focused. The benefit that they wanted was for the company to pay for their LinkedIn accounts. They wanted a premium LinkedIn account. That was important to them. Why? Social media is important to them. They want to be plugged in and networking all the time. They also wanted company-sponsored happy hour. You know what I mean? Gen Xers were more focused on, hey, please just match my 401k. I want the highest match that I can get. Yep. And like I said, the baby boomers were thinking of, I want to make sure that I'm okay once I leave here. So you have all these different people. You have to figure out a way to meet all their needs, because the goal of any organization is retention, yep. Right? You want to keep people, good people, working for you, because that's what makes you successful.
That's a really, really interesting. I hadn't even thought about that. This is why I love these conversations, because there's so many great ideas that are surfaced here. I love the idea of meeting your employees where they are, regardless of the life stage, because they're going to need and want different things. And what a fantastic way to do that by, you know, listening to their employees and rewarding, doing that, you know, thinking about rewards and recognition in a way that matches what your employees want and need versus just sort of a blanket, you know, one size fits all, which we know goes against the whole idea of inclusivity anyway. That's fantastic. I'm just really, it's got me thinking, right? And so now I'm kind of sputtering, but that's a really, really
Melissa, and think of me, you know this about me, think of me, right? I'm Gen X. I'm a single mom. Right. And I also live with my parents. Mm-hmm. So I'm sandwich generation. So for me, if I was to have a job, I would love a job that would give me that flexibility to be able to go pick up my son if he falls at school. You know, I don't want to be judged because, hey, oh my goodness, there goes Rachel again. Something happened with her son. Or, oh no, she's working from home again because something happened to her dad. I want to be able to bring my whole self to work. This is who I am. I am a single mom and I also live with my parents. I'm a sandwich generation. I'm doing the best that I can. Accommodate me the best way you can, you know? And another thing to think about, generational intelligence, for example, the baby boomers, the men, they don't quite understand why these young men want paternal leave because they never took paternal leave. You get what I'm saying?
Yep.
Everybody in the same company. But the younger men want to take time off when their wives or significant others have babies, when they have a baby. So it's making sure that everybody is able to bring their best selves to work, you know, so they can do the best job for you. So there's so many things to consider. And what I'm finding and what's exciting to me is we're all learning from each other.
Yep.
You know?
Well, I'm gonna pause it there because I think you and I could carry on this conversation forever, but I think you've given us some really, really exceptional things to think about. The first is, you know, that change is inevitable. And thriving is a choice. And for organizations that are looking in thinking about how are they going to thrive amidst the changing nature of their workforce. And as, you know, as employees enter different stages of their life, I think the thing that really is sticking out to me is thinking about the different needs of your employees and how you can meet them at these different spots in their life. And the idea that, you know, one group of employees may want one thing and another may not want the other, and that's okay. And that is also equitable in terms of meeting people where they are and what's going to best support them. I think the other thing that you just mentioned around, you know, learning from each other and that transfer of knowledge through that reciprocal mentoring is a really, really interesting piece that you brought up. And I think, and that is really interesting because, you know, you don't only transfer sort of this social cultural knowledge, but the institutional knowledge as well that you potentially lose as your employees start to retire. So there's a whole bunch of benefits around that intergenerational reciprocal mentoring. So I want to thank you so much, Rachel, for sharing these really thought-provoking insights today. If you're interested in learning more about Rachel's work, you can check out her website. It's www.rachelrudo.com. You can follow her on LinkedIn, or you can send her an email at rachel@rachelrudo.com, and we'll have all these links up on the podcast. So thank you so much, Rachel.
Thank you for having me, Dr. Horn.
And for everyone who tuned in, thanks again for joining me on Just One Cue. If you have any of your own burning questions, please feel free to reach out to me at hello@learningsnippets.ca, or you can write us a review, or you can send me a message on LinkedIn and let us know what you thought of today's episode. Until next time, I'm Dr. Melissa Horn, and this has been Just One Cue.